Everybody back for the evening service tonight at 6 o'clock. The evening service at 6 o'clock tonight, you're all invited back. And please turn with me to Luke chapter 16. As I was getting ready for this morning, I was reminded of how much I love preaching. I'm grateful and honored to God for every opportunity He has given me to preach, and I love preaching. This message this morning is one of the hardest messages I've ever preached, and it's a message that's true, it's powerful, and it's important. As we look at Luke chapter 16 this morning, we're going to begin reading verse number 19. And this morning, I almost wish I could preach on something else today, but I believe we're right where God wants us this morning. As we look at the thought this morning from Luke chapter 16, is there a hell? Read with me, if you will, beginning in verse 19. The Bible tells us this morning, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. The Bible says in verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would sendest him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they hath Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray. God, thank you, Father, for the opportunity to stand here and preach this morning. Help me to be a blessing, to help your people. God, we love your word, but we must remember all the Bible is true. And God, help us, Father, as we look at this passage of Scripture, to learn what you'd have us to learn, to see the truth here that's for all of us. Oh, we love you, Lord, because you first loved us. Help me, I pray, as I preach, fill me with thy Holy Spirit. If there be one among us, Father, who is lost, if there be one here that does not know that heaven is their home, God, that you'd convict them, that you'd help me, Father, this morning to preach thy word in a way they could understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, we love you, Lord, because you first loved us. Help us this morning, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. In Luke 16, Jesus tells us this true story. Unlike parables, real people are mentioned, giving us the name of one of the characters, Lazarus. Lazarus was a poor man who had little to nothing in this world. The rich man seemingly had everything that is, except Jesus. They both went into eternity, and our Lord reveals their existence beyond this life. What happened after death? It makes us ask the question this morning, is there a hell? Is there? Do people without God really die and go to a place full of fire and burn for all eternity? Is there a hell? Is there really a place that sins are punished and that the fire is not quenched, where people pay for their sins for all eternity? Is there a hell? Is there a place where people who reject God and say no to Jesus Christ die and live forever? Is there a place called hell? The answer is a sad one. It's the answer I wish that was not true. I wish no one had to suffer and burn for all eternity. But the answer remains the same. There is a hell. People who reject God have to pay for their own sins. And in our story, we met two men. We see the difference between a saved man's destiny and the destiny of an unbeliever in this story. We must remember that this story teaches us that God is holy, and a holy God cannot ignore sin. A holy God cannot leave sin unpunished. Oh, he makes a way of escape for sin. He does everything possible that he can do to make sure nobody has to go to that place. But when people reject God and they die without Jesus Christ, their fate is sealed. No matter how much I want to, the Bible cannot be rewritten. People without God die and burn in hell. Pastor Jack Hiles wrote this in his book, "I wrestled with this thing when I was a kid preacher. Numbers of people tried to counsel with me. Older preachers far down the line tried to tell me I should not preach on hellfire and brimstone. I had to wrestle about this thing. I went through a brief period where I wondered if there really was fire in hell. But I had to have a basis. There must be a foundation of truth. There has to be something as the criteria for what you believe. So I decided the Bible is true. I decided this book is the Word of God. And if this book says it, I am going to believe it. And this book is plain that there are fires in hell." Matthew 25, verse 41 says, "Everlasting fire." Revelation 21, 15 says, "The lake of fire," which means a liquid fire, a lava-type substance. Revelation 21, 8 says, "The fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." There is a hell this morning. Who will go to this place called hell? Who's going to hell? Well, the Bible tells us that as well. First of all, sinners will go. Sinners will go. As I just read that verse from Revelation 21, we saw the awful sins listed, those that are unbelieved, those who reject God, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters. That is a rough list. You think about the great sinners of this world, serial killers, dictators who murdered thousands, doctors who murder babies and abortion. Oh, sinners go to hell. But you know what? The small sinners go too. All liars. I may not be everything on that list, but I belong on that list because I have told a lie. And I have sinned against the holy God. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6 that the wages of sin is death. And anybody that sins stands guilty before a holy God. And sin cannot go unpunished. And sinners go to hell if they reject Jesus Christ. Sinners will go. But not only will sinners go, the somedays will go. The somedays. Those people who said, you know, one day I'll get saved. One day I'll walk down the aisle. I'll come to the altar. I will let somebody show me from God's word how I can have eternal life. Someday I'll do that. But someday often comes too late. There are people who burn in hell this morning who honestly thought, one day I'm going to get saved. There are people who thought that. There are people who said, one day I will let the preacher show me from the Bible how I can know I'm going to heaven. They believed that. They wanted to do that. But they said, I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to put it off another Sunday. Another Wednesday night. It can wait till next Sunday. The somedays will be there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 tells us, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Why would you gamble with eternity? I remember when I was lost, when I would sit in church, I would hear the gospel preached. I knew I was lost. I knew if I died, I would go to hell. And I knew that. And I was sitting in my church pew and I was playing a game with God that I could not afford to win. Nobody has to get saved. God doesn't force people to come to the altar. God doesn't force people to accept Him as their Savior. God doesn't force that. But when you reject that and you say no to God, then you're saying, I will pay for my own sins. And you sit here as a someday, and someday will come too late. Oh, the sinners will go. The somedays will go. But then the Sundays will go. There are many people that sit in church, and it's like what Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, There are many people that have come to church, but they have never came to Christ. Oh, and it's a different thing to come to church than to come to Christ. Jesus didn't just say, believe in me. He said, believe on me, to trust, to put your faith and to trust in him. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Going to church doesn't make anyone a Christian any more than going in your garage at home makes you a car. You can stand in the garage and say you're a car, but you're not a car. And you can sit on a church pew and say you're a Christian, but that does not make you a Christian. To be a Christian, you must be a follower of Christ. To be a Christian, you must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And you cannot live the Christian life. You cannot be a Christian without Christ. And many people will be there on that day of judgment. The sinners will be there. The some days will be there. And the Sundays will be there. Those people who knew as they sat in that church pew that they were lost but would not get saved. Was it pride? Was it they thought they'd be humiliated if they came to the altar? And they, for many reasons, they may have not. But on the day of judgment, that day will come, and there will be people as they stand before God, and they'll have their tithing number, and they'll say, I gave this to the Lord. They'll have their Sunday school pins. They'll have their perfect attendance at church. And they will remember all the Sundays they sat in church and said no to Jesus Christ. The sinners will be there. The Sundays will be there. But so will the Sundays. People will go to hell, and anybody goes there who does not accept Christ. What can we learn about hell from this story? The first thing we see is the reality of death. The reality of death. Look at verse number 22 with me, please. The Bible tells us, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. The rich man and the poor man, they died. May have been on the same day, we're not sure, but they both died. And one thing we can all be certain of this morning, everybody who lives on earth, apart from those who will live here when the rapture takes place, will go off into eternity at some point. The Bible tells us, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die. And the Bible makes it clear that no man knoweth the day or the hour. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know if it'll be tomorrow. I hope nobody perishes in a car wreck on the way home, but it could happen. I don't want it to happen, but it could. I don't want anybody to have an accident at work this week. I don't want anybody to have a heart attack and sad things happen. I don't want that to happen. But the Bible tells us that what is your life? It is even a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. And the reality of death looms large. And may we be reminded of what Hebrews chapter 10 says. It is a fearful thing. It's a scary thing. It's a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of a living God. When somebody without Christ and they die in their sins, they fall into the hands of a living God, into a holy God, into a just God that has to punish sin. Oh yes, God is love and he's full of love. For God so loved the world. Oh, God is full of mercy. The Bible tells us that God delights in mercy. He's excited. He can't wait to hand out mercy. But God, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 6, the only time God is described in three things in the same place, in the same way, the Bible tells us that God is holy, holy, holy. And a just and holy God cannot leave sin unpunished, and sin must be dealt with. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. The reality of death. Apart from the rapture, we will all one day die. And when we wake up, when we lift our eyes after death, we will wake up either in heaven or hell. If we've been saved by the grace of God, if we can know and we know beyond the shadow of a doubt, if we've accepted Jesus Christ, we remember when we asked Jesus to forgive us of our sins, and we remember when I got saved. You may not remember the date. You may not remember every single detail, but you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you asked Jesus to save you. On February 17th of 2017, I asked Jesus to save me. I remember the carpet was green. I don't remember every single word I said. I remember who was with me, the soul winner that was there. But I know I got saved. I know I did business with the Lord. I know that. And I can tell you this morning, you may not remember every detail. You may not remember the color of the carpet. You may not remember the color of the tie of the person that was with you. but you can take me to the place. You may not remember the date, but you know you dealt with your sin and you asked Jesus to forgive you, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. You just relied on Jesus Christ and you put your faith and trust in the shed blood of Christ and you relied on that to take you to heaven and not works and not church and not anything else but Jesus and Jesus alone. If you're doing that, you know you're saved today. You know when death comes, it's not a scary thing. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But if you're lost this morning, the judgment looms large after death. And you must come to Jesus or you will go into eternity without Jesus. People who die without God spend eternity without God. The reality of death. But not only do we see the reality of death this morning, we see the revelation of doom. Look at verse 23. The Bible says, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off. The moment the rich man closed his eyes in death, when they reopened, he woke up and he lift his eyes in hell. And the rich man is still there today. Oh, what will be in hell? What is hell really like? The Bible tells us of what it's like. It tells us of its dangers. It tells us of what it is like. Because God wants us to know what it is so we don't have to go there. He wants us to know. The Bible tells us what it's like. It's a place of suffering. The Bible tells us in verse 23 and 24, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. In verse 24, he said, I am tormented in this flame. He begged and he cried, said, I am tormented. This is suffering. I didn't want this. The Bible tells us there is weeping, there is wailing, there is gnashing of teeth. It's a place that nobody has to go. It's full of death. It's full of pain. The Bible calls it where the worm dieth not. That's the place called hell, a place of suffering. But not only is it a place of suffering, it's a place of sadness. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell and delivered them to the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. It's a place of suffering. It's a place of sadness. It's sad because you sit in darkness forever and you will never see the ones you love again. You will never have the things you desired on earth again. It's a place of sadness. But not only the suffering and sadness, but the shadows. The Bible tells us hell is a place of darkness. Matthew 22:13. Then send the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jude 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Hell's a place of suffering. It's a place of sadness. It's a place of shadows, surrounded by darkness for all eternity. That's what hell is like. But besides the suffering and sadness, besides the darkness, the separation. Look at verse 26 this morning. The Bible tells us, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. The Bible said that there's a great gulf fixed, that there's a gulf, you cannot cross it, that you cannot get across it on your own, that there's a place of separation in hell, eternally separated from God, cast behind God's back into outer darkness for all eternity, separated from God. That's why there's suffering. That's why there's sadness. That's why there's darkness. Because God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And the darkness of hell is caused by the sin that God has turned his back on and cast it into the lake of fire for all eternity. There's a great gulf fixed, and you are separated from God, separated from your loved ones, separated from everything you thought was good, everything you thought you wanted, separated for all eternity. That's what happens to those who die without God and go to hell. There is a separation. I remember Brother Ralph Sexton, I heard him preach on this subject when I was a little boy. And he told the story, his grandson heard him preach on this. And his grandson went home and asked his mom, said, Mom, if I go to the place like that, you'll come get me, won't you? And she had to say, son, when people die and go to hell, mom and daddies can't come get them. They're stuck there for all eternity. Hell is an awful place. It's a place of separation. But not only do we see the reality of death, do we see the revelation of doom, but we see the remembrance of the divine. In verse 25. But Abraham's son said, "Son, remember." One of the worst parts of hell? The most painful word in this chapter? Is it the flame? Is it the fire? Is it the separation? But he says, remember that there is, in hell, there is remembrance. Remember that the rich man remembered everything that had happened to him on earth. Remember, Abraham said to him. The remembrance of the divine. They remember guilt. Hey, guilt goes to hell with people. They will remember the wicked pursuits of life. The alcoholic burns in hell wishing he could have another drop of alcohol. Hey, the drug addict burns in hell begging and wishing he could have just one more fix of cocaine. The deviant that goes into immorality and wicked things I won't even discuss from the pulpit will sit and burn in hell lusting for things they can never have again. R.G. Lee, a great preacher of the past, told the story. He went to visit a man on death row. He was to be executed the same day. He was going to the electric chair. He was going to eternity. R.G. Lee wanted to give him the gospel. It was a wicked man who did unspeakable things to people. And R.G. Lee sat there, and he was leaving his cell. He was walking to the gallows. And R.G. Lee said, if you could ask God for one thing, what would you say? The man, in tears, said, "I wish God could wipe away my memory. I wish I could forget all those things I'd done." And when people go to hell, the memories of life go with them. That they remember the wicked pursuits of life. They remember every sin they did against the holy God and will never have forgiveness for. They remember their wicked pursuits. Then they remember the gold, their worldly possessions. They remember that soft chair they sat in that they can't sit in again. They will remember the great things they had in life, the good food that they ate, the steak, the good times as their belly fills with hunger and shrinks and that they starve for all eternity. They remember what they used to eat. They will remember the water. What did the rich man ask for? He said, "I'm in torment in the flame. Could I just have a drop of water?" They will remember the cold, refreshing taste of a cool drink of water that they can never, ever have again. They remember that. But what does hell feel like for these people? Go home today and get the frying pan out and put it on the stove and put your hand on the pan and leave it there for 10 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4. Preacher, you said you're crazy. I wouldn't do that. Neither would I. But that's what the people in hell feel, magnified times 10,000, and they feel it forever and ever and ever. The Bible tells us that in hell, the rich man lift up his eyes. He lifted up his eyes in hell the day he died. He lifted up his eyes the day in hell Jesus died on the cross. He lifted up his eyes in hell the day Peter preached on Pentecost. He lifted up his eyes in hell when the Magna Carta was signed in England. He lifted up his eyes in hell when Columbus discovered the New World. He lifted up his eyes in hell the day the Declaration of Independence was signed. He lifted up his eyes in hell the day World War II started and Hitler invaded Poland. He lifted up his eyes in hell day after day after day for all eternity. And 10,000 years from today, he will still do the same thing because eternity is forever. And that's what it is. And they remember the guilt all that time. They remember the gold all that time. Mark 8:36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Hey, what shall it profit you? What's it worth to you to die and go to hell? That's a question you should ask somebody. But not only will they remember the guilt, will they remember the gold, but they remember God, the worthy Prince of Peace. They will remember he offered forgiveness. They will remember that Jesus loved them. I wonder how many people in hell remember Jesus loves me. This I know. They will remember that. People that reject God, remember those things. They will remember the days they heard the gospel. They will remember the day they sat in the church pew. They will remember that. Hey, they will remember the day that somebody pulled out a gospel tract and said, "Can I give you this to read? It's got some verses from the Bible that tell you how you can know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven." They will remember tearing those up. They will remember saying no to God. They will remember those things, but they won't be able to do anything about it. Hell is the truth that is seen too late. I wish this was not true. I wish I didn't have family members that are there today. I wished I didn't. I remember a family member, his name I'm not going to mention, that my dad witnessed to him. He had cancer. He was under 100 pounds. He was dying. And my dad went to see him. And he told him he loved him. And he was dying. Death was coming soon. And my dad pulled out a gospel tract to hand it to him. A person they had shared many a meal with. A person they had played in the yard together as children. Who had been bitter with so many problems in life. And as he pulled out that tract, he said, "No, no." He wouldn't even look at it. I wish that was not true. But the Bible must be believed from cover to cover. And there is the reality of death. There is the revelation of doom. And there is the remembrance of the divine. If you're saved today, ask yourself the question, is there hell? If there is, shouldn't we tell people? If there is a hell, shouldn't people in our street, people in our family, shouldn't they know so they don't have to go there? What did the rich man say? He said, verse 28, "For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them." I got brethren. Go, somebody go tell my family. I don't want them to come to this place. I see it. It's real. I didn't believe it, but now I do. Someone go tell my brethren. Tell my sister. Tell my father. Tell my mother. Somebody go tell them. And what happened? Abraham said, "They have the prophets." He said, "They won't believe that. But if one rise from the dead, they will believe it." Moses said, "If they won't believe the prophets, they won't even believe if one has risen from the dead." We have the prophets this morning. And one has rose from the dead. And you and I, as a Christian, if you're saved this morning, you have the responsibility given to us by Jesus Christ to stand and to give the gospel to others before it's too late. If you got somebody that you know that you work with that died, go to hell, it is the responsibility of the Christian to let them know. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing to die and go to hell. And it is the job of the Christian to tell those on our street, to tell those in our neighborhood, to hand out gospel tracts, to sit down with people and say, "Jesus loves you and he died for you so you didn't have to go to a wicked place like that. He loves you." It's the job of the Christian to tell the five brethren, to pray for them, to pursue them, to compel them to come into the Lord's house that it may be filled. It is our job. But if you're lost this morning, you have something God wants you to do too. And it's not share with others. It's share it for yourself. If you sit here this morning and you're not for sure, you need to get saved today. The Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation. And as awful as that place is, why gamble with eternity? You're not gambling with a year or 2 years. You're gambling with eternity. And the Bible tells us that as awful as that place is, God's love is more wonderful. And God's love says nobody has to go to the place called hell. And he offers forgiveness. Yes, we're on that list of that wicked thing from Revelation we read earlier, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable murderers. I belong on that list. But I'm glad the Bible tells us that as such were some of you, that you don't have to stay like that. That you may be guilty of those things, but we don't have to stay on that list. That Jesus offers forgiveness, he offers mercy, and he wants to save today. And Jesus offers eternal life, and all you have to do is ask for it. You can't work your way out of hell. You would never be able to do it. But Jesus said, "I want to forgive. Not excuse, forgive. Yes, it's wrong, and yes, it's wicked, and you repent and you say, no, God, I'm turning from my sin unto you, and you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. You ask Jesus Christ to save you and take you to heaven. He will. The Bible tells us, he that cometh unto me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus said, all that the Father give me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. What was his will? We see that in 2 Peter 3:9, that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. And God has given you the choice to receive him or reject him today. And he says in John 1:13, but as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What's he saying? If you believe it, you can receive it. This morning, if you don't know for sure, I would not leave not knowing. It's not a shame. It's not a shame to say, I'm not sure. It'd be better to be sure, to examine your own heart, than to die and go to that awful place. And if you're a Christian today, we ought to leave here with the resolve and ask ourselves that question, is there a hell? And if we see people at the gas station, or if we see people at Walmart, if we see people about our day, to have the courage within our heart to say, there is a hell and I must warn them before it is too late. The lost needs to get saved. The Christian needs to get surrendered. When we ask the question, is there a place called hell? Yes, there is. But God doesn't want anyone to go there. And if you sit here this morning, God loves us. He loves you, and he offers eternal life. He says, he that cometh to me will not be cast out. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to go there. That if you will confess Jesus Christ, if you will ask him to save you, he will take you to heaven. No one has to go there. That's where we deserve. Oh, we deserve that. Every one of us. I deserve to go to that place. The only reason I won't go is because Jesus said I didn't have to if I would believe. Preacher, are you trying to scare people this morning? I would if I could. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that Noah, who was warned the flood was coming, and Noah said, saved with fear. He built the ark because he was scared that the flood was coming. If I could scare people out of hell, I would, because God said that nobody has to go there. The day I got saved because I didn't want to go to that place, and I don't want anybody else to go to either. And if you're not sure heaven's your home today, you can be sure before you leave, because it's not worth the risk. There is a hell, but no one has to go there, because Jesus Christ made a bridge over it on the cross of Calvary. And if you're asking him to save you today, he will. And if you're saved today and you know it beyond the shadow of a doubt, make it a choice to tell someone this week so they don't have to go to the wicked place called hell. Let's pray. God, thank you for today, Lord, and what you've done. God, I pray that you'd convict hearts. If there be one among us that's not sure, and it's not a shame to say I have questions. It's not a shame to say I just want to be sure. There's no shame in that, Lord. There's no shame in saying I just want to be sure I'm going to heaven. God, if there be one among us, Father, that's here today, let them know that before it's too late. The song's going to play. The altars are open. If I wasn't sure, I would come to the altar. If I had